Trying to shoot an arrow doesn't matter that you have a target. Trying to hit the center of the target, if you don't have a target, then you won't hit it, will you? We've got to talk about these things that we're discussing, not just for our sake, but I think for the sake of a much wider, don't really want to use the word audience, but hearing. The things that we're talking about are things that are really important for the church to consider now. And it doesn't have to be our congregation. We're talking about things in an honest way, hopefully, and in an open, transparent way. The cool thing is we can have these conversations here. We're a place where we can talk about these things and not act like we got it all together. Or that we do it right, or we do it the only way. That's important. So, I guess what I'm trying to say is this. If you encounter people who are having questions, who are either believers or people who aren't believers, and they're trying to figure out what, you know, or they're even open to trying to figure out what it is we people who do church, who worship Jesus, who believe in God, what it is we really think is important. The things that we're talking about 9:30 are a good way to begin some conversations. Because as we talk about mission, what did Jesus say he was about? There are a lot of people that you and I, we talk about the Great Commission. We talk about all those passages that Jesus spoke. And we know, and we need to be reminded of what he said. There are a lot of people out there that really don't get what Jesus said he was about. So the things that we're talking about are the really important things that people know and get. So if you want to have a conversation, you say, look, we're talking about this at 9:30. You don't have to be there. You can just listen to it. Then let's talk. What do you got questions about? What do you think? And hopefully what they will hear is us being honest. You not being coerced, brainwashed, or preached at. Because those are some of the things that just wear people out. But that we are trying to be honest about what Jesus said he was about, what were the ways that he lived, and what were his values. Those are essential things that people who don't know Jesus or who don't get or understand church, those are things they need to know that we will honestly deal with. And that we're willing to look at ourselves and say, you know what? We're here. We need to grow here. Here's our opportunity for growth. So today we transition. We've got the mission, we've got the values. Today we've got to talk about the product. It was the second thing on that list of five. So we'll pull that up. So clear mission and values was number one. Today it's the specific goal or desired product. Again, if you don't have a target, you won't hit it. If you don't know what you're trying to build or create, it won't be created. You have to have an idea. So today, we're going to look at the goal and product of what we're supposed to be about so that we have that clear in our mind. I'm going to tell you that from what I understand, whenever I've heard most of the churches in America that get the press, okay, because you have to understand, there are many, many churches in America that get this concept of what we're supposed to be recreating. And no one ever knows that they've got it right because they're not in the public limelight. But they're doing it right. They've got it right. So do not hear me saying that there's not people that have this right. They're not believers, congregations that have this right. But what I hear whenever I hear the people that get to the press or the ones that get all the notoriety, they've only got half the equation right. And they got it right, and they have their neat ways of saying it, and that's fine, but they're missing the other half. And that's part of the problem in America, is we're missing half of who we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to be producing. So let's look and see what that is. What are the desired goals or products, okay, of this mission and the values that we're supposed to be living and embodying? One, now, other people put it in other ways, but this is the way I put it. People who have Jesus living in them that live like He lived. Now, other people will use expressions like fully devoted followers of Christ, which is fine. I don't mind that. That's good. I like that. But I like mine better because I think it's more biblical. It's people who have Jesus living in them that live like He lived, because that's what He called people to do. I think that's a little more descriptive than fully devoted. I'm sorry, it's got the picture, okay? Second thing, and this is the part that gets left off, because if you say that your purpose and your goal is to develop fully devoted followers of Christ, well, guess what? What does that mean? You have all these little independent operators, and the independent operators have no unifying effect. And again, that's not scriptural. Jesus didn't come to just find all these little to create and transform all these people to be all these little islands that never interact with one another. That's not the gospel. What the gospel is that there's supposed to be a community of people who have Jesus living in their midst, who are an unstoppable movement of grace, reconciliation, redemption, and nurture. You see all that happening in the New Testament. Every time Paul writes a letter, it's about these things. So yes, we're supposed to be changed, transformed, and something's supposed to be happening in us so that we become more like Jesus. But then there's the other part that says you can't do it alone. You have to do it together, or it's not doing it. Which is something that we like to make optional in our culture, because we like to find fault. You know, there's always something wrong with those people. Those people. Okay, those people. All right. So these are the two things we're going to look at today. People who have Jesus living in them that live like He lived. Well, the good news is we do have some scriptural foundation for what this means. So we're going to look at these. The first one is Galatians 2:20. And yes, I do have that for you up here on the slide. I'll do that in a minute, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you what the passages we're going to look at are first. The second one is Galatians 5:16 through 25. So it's the same letter again. And then 2 Corinthians 4:4 through 11. Now I'm using New Living Translation, but we're going to get to read it in several of, you know, if there's some divergence there. I think that they're all important to read and in a couple of translations. But all of these passages have to do with people who have Jesus living in them that live like He lived. That's the call. That's the standard. That's the purpose. That's the product. So let's look at Galatians 2:20. This just happens to be one of those that once upon a time was in some group of passages that I was supposed to memorize. But in NLT, and I memorized it in, I think, New American Standard, which was something like, "It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered Himself up for me." So, there's New Living. The New Living says, "I myself no longer live, but Christ lives in me. So I live my life in this earthly body by trusting the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me." So, it's not only that you have Christ that's changed you, it's that you live like He lived. That's the product. Passage 2, John. Now this one's a little bit longer. It's Galatians 5. Okay. We're looking at Galatians 5, 16 through 25. So here Paul said, same letter, a little later, "So I advise you to live according to your new life in the Holy Spirit." So it's not just that Jesus has changed you, it's that now you're going to live like it. And who's the Holy Spirit going to lead you to live like? Jesus. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. And the old sinful nature loves to do evil, which is just opposite from what the Holy Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite from what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, and your choices are never free from this conflict. But when you are directed by the Holy Spirit, you are no longer subject to the law. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, your lives will produce these evil results: sexual immorality, impure thoughts, eagerness, lustful pleasure, idolatry, participation in demonic activities, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, divisions, the feeling that everyone is wrong except those in your own little group, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other kinds of sin. Whew, that's quite a list. "Let me tell you again," he said, "as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But when the Holy Spirit controls your lives, He will produce this kind of fruit in us: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Here there is no conflict with the law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to His cross and crucified them there. And if we are living now by the Holy Spirit, let us follow the Holy Spirit's leading in every part of our lives." You can't just say, "Christ has changed me." We have to live it. So we have Christ living in us by the power of the Holy Spirit, and then we live the life that Jesus lived by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the product. That's what we're hoping to see happen, okay, in the lives of individuals. We want this to happen. That's why we exist. So whenever we see people coming into our fellowship, this is what we are saying they are coming to be a part of us to do. And when Christ changed them, this is what He expected that they would become. Not something less, but all of this. Okay. Questions, thoughts, reflections at this point. Are we settling for a lesser product? So how do we, again, got my little diagram from last week. If this is where we are and this is where we're supposed to be, that's our opportunity for growth. So how do we get from here to here, or here to here? All right, take a step. Ownership, responsibility, willing to act. Now, obviously, do you ever want to act before you know what you need to do? No, it's not shoot and aim, it's aim and shoot, right? But it got your attention.
It got my attention.
Kind of reminds me of that film clip I showed of Leap of Faith. When the real thing shows up, when God really shows up and people can't explain, all of a sudden, what was comfortable is no longer comfortable. What have we not reproduced so that our kids don't believe that God does certain things? Now, I'm not saying we're in charge of making things happen. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, if this is who we're supposed to be in our mission, values, and product is supposed to be this, even if we can't make it happen, we are supposed to be facilitators. We're supposed to be available for God to use us so that it does happen, so that we are agreeing with Him and cooperating with Him, and we're a part of His plan and His purpose so that the product does So what is it about the kingdom in America that keeps us from seeing this kind of product? We have to ask ourselves the question. I have an idea that I want you to hear. John, go back to Galatians 2:20. I'm considering this. How about that? I'm trying to be open. I'm trying to hear. Here's something for you to listen to. There's too much life left in our bodies when we try to ask Jesus to come into ours. So that whenever He comes in, there's not enough room for Him to fill it. And there's always this battle. Whereas, if you look at the passage here, and if you look at what it said, I mean, and you know, New American Standard is close to this, but what is the first phrase in that? I myself no longer live. Goes right along with when Jesus said, I am. What do you have to do? Just take up your cross daily. Take up your cross and follow me. The problem is we want to keep living instead of coming to Him a dead, lifeless thing that He comes to bring life to, so that the life that comes in is His and is no longer ours. And we all struggle with that. There's a lot of Christians who have become Christians by simply adding on another layer, instead of being renovated from the inside. Starting from death. Brought from death to life. Instead, it was just a facade placed on top of something that was never ruled empty. That makes sense? You mean your church isn't done at 12 o'clock?
That's right. Yeah.
12 o'clock, I can't do that.
You know, it's all...
Yeah. One of the things that we have to make sure that whenever we make disciples is that they understand it is that it starts with dying to self. And sometimes we haven't done a very good job of explaining that. What that means and what the call is. And you know, it's about not being selfish. And choosing not to be when you feel like you want to be selfish, you choose not to be. And then you confess that you are. Product is very, see, we've got to talk about this because the product is essential. Because we can't just add on. We can't just do that. Because if we do, there's no power in the message we preach. All right. Back forward there, John. Got one more passage to look at and then we'll move on. This passage is 2 Corinthians 4, 4 through 11. Here Paul wrote, Satan, the god of this evil world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe, so they are unwilling to see the glorious light of the good news that is shining upon them. They don't understand the message we preach about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. We don't go around preaching about ourselves. We preach Christ Jesus, the Lord. All we say about ourselves is that we are your servants because of what Jesus has done for us. I don't know about you, but that strikes me. For God who said, let there be light in darkness, has made us understand that this light is the brightness of the glory of God that is seen in the face of Christ Jesus. But this precious treasure, this light and power that now shine within us is held in perishable containers, that is, in our weak bodies, so that everyone can see that our glorious power is from God and not on our own. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed and broken. We are perplexed, but we don't give up and quit. We are hunted down, but God never abandons us. We get knocked down, but we get up again and keep going. Through suffering, these bodies of ours constantly share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Yes, we live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus, so that the life of Jesus will be obvious in our dying bodies. Do you see why we don't see power? Why don't we see the power of God? We don't live like this. I don't live like this. The life of Christ is supposed to radiate from within us because we are empty and He fills us up. So that whenever we're squeezed or we're crushed or we're troubled, what comes out of us is Jesus. Not Rick being grumpy. Or whatever. Complaining Rick. Argumentative Rick. Okay, let's look at the second part. The implications. One, people are different because Jesus lives in them. That's very important for us to get as part of this goal or product. Two, people live differently because Jesus lives in them. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Okay, you are different. You live different because it's real. Third point, people partner with God by living His mission and His values. Going back to the first part. So, we're different. We live different. We live like Him. Can't keep living the way we lived before. We have to live different. We have to live like Jesus. Now, do we get it all in one scoop? No, that's what we were talking about last week when we talked about sanctification. But are we moving in that direction? Are we taking the opportunities for growth that are between where we are and where we're supposed to be? Bridging that gap, scaling the separation, that's sanctification, the process of. So, would you pray with me about these things? About people who are different because Jesus lives in them, people who live different because Jesus lives in them, and partnering with God by living His mission and values? Because the last time I checked, that's kind of who we said we were, right? All right, there is no way on God's green earth that I'm going to get to the second part of this, but I'm going to introduce it. So let's go on to the second thing here, John. Product two. We've got the individual part, the part that everybody likes to focus on, but then we have this second part, the part that says we have to be in community, that we have to be a community of people that have Jesus living in the middle of them, who are an unstoppable movement of grace, reconciliation, redemption, and nurture. Why do I know those things are a part of the product? Because it's part of the mission. What did Jesus say in the Isaiah scroll that he read? What was he there for? Proclaim freedom to the captives, sight to the blind. What else? Good news. These are the things that Jesus proclaimed. So I know that if we are the body of Christ, we're the visible hands and feet of Jesus in the face of the world now. I know, you know, that this is a part of the product because He saved us to be a part of one another as well as with Him forever. All right, is that good enough lead in? All right. Well, what I'm finding is that I'm biting off more than I can chew. So we will revisit and we'll pick up here next installment. Anything you heard today that you need to echo or that needs to be said as we come to the end today? All right. We'll talk more about the second part of the product next Sunday. Let's pray. Father, we come before You again. Lord, I pray that You would speak to us, that You would speak to us about what You want us to be reproducing. Lord, what You intend to do through us as You allow us to participate with You in building Your kingdom, Lord. I pray that we would be willing to be crucified in spirit before You so that You can live in us. And that, Lord, the things that need to come out of us will. Lord, help us to put away selfishness. Help us to put away our impatience. Help us to put away our addiction to convenience. So that, Lord, we can see You formed perfectly in us. Even as we endure the things that Lord, You went through. You endured. So that what comes out of us is beautiful and gives life and is unstoppable. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.